Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett and I'll be your host for this program. Once again, the focus is on the search for Hayley Cummings. Much has happened in the past few days, and TJ Hart of WSKY 97.3 and I decided it was time to have another conversation about the case. TJ is the go-to guy on the Hayley Cummings story, and his site, thesky973.com, is where all of the breaking news can be found. That's 99.9% of the time. TJ, it is always great to have you on the air.
Hi, Simon. Long time no hear. How you been?
Right. Well, I've been great. I've been great since we talked earlier this morning.
And 10 minutes ago.
Right.
By the way, how's your blizzard affecting you there, your trace of snow?
Well, they I did get this delightful phone call yesterday. And it was a recording from the local fire chief informing us that the schools indeed were going to be closed today. And he advised that we not go out on the roads. Looking outside the window, there was some light snow. Of course, it didn't stick around. It's just a wet, rather miserable day here in Mississippi.
I was going to tell folks that, Simon's accent might throw you off. You might think he's from Texas, but he is from Picayune, Mississippi.
So, you know, I don't...
We're expecting some, too, here in Florida. So if we get our what we expect to be is 3 flakes overnight, we're prepared.
Right. There was no need to pull the snow plow. I believe there is only one in Mississippi, you know, out of mothballs.
Oh, heaven's sakes. Well, I tell you what, there's been enough, despite the lack of warm weather, there's been a lot of heat going on in a number of missing child cases here in Florida, Simon. We do have some news that broke last night. And it's a person of interest in the Summer Thompson case. Yes, we are going to get back to the Hayley Cummings case in just a moment. But to give you a brief synopsis, a man who was right there in the same county, or in the same area, not in the same county, was arrested. They've arrested a former neighbor, I guess, of the 7-year-old girl whose body was found in a landfill last fall. And they named him a person of interest in her disappearance and murder. He's a 24-year-old man by the name of Gerald Harrell. He was arrested without incident on 29 unrelated counts of possession of child pornography, and they found him in Meridian, Mississippi. Now, one of our local sheriffs from Clay County, this is where that happened, Rick Beasler, made that announcement in the press conference yesterday. According to the arrest documents, a cluster of child porn images, video, and several CDs were found in Orange Park, Florida, apartment, and the rest is there. Now, Deanna Thompson, from the young girl, Summer Thompson's mother, is not getting her hopes up at this point. It's cautiously guarded optimism that they got the right person here at this point. We did have a girl that was missing in Marion County, and she was found safe and sound. She was from Ocklawaha. Not all of these stories have tragic endings. Thank God for that. This girl was 14, and she was actually being hid in the house of her boyfriend behind a false fireplace. And her stepfather and law enforcement did find her, and she was in the company of a person of his legal authority, and he's now in jail.
So that's what we got there.
Wow. I do know that we have another person on the line, but I don't want to introduce him right now. But Can you please stop the background noise?
There we go. We do have some updates in the Haley Cummings case. Of course, everyone knows that many of the principal players that we know of at this point, Ronald Cummings and Misty Crosland and Tommy Crosland, are all behind bars, along with Ronald Cummings' cousin Hope Sykes and a friend of Misty's, Donna Brock. Now, Ronald, of course, is the father of missing Haley Cummings, who's been gone now for a year. Misty is the last person to see her. She disappeared on her watch back on February 10th in Satsuma. Now, with that in mind, we've had a lot of phone calls and videos released by the St. Johns County Sheriff's Office. Unfortunately, what they're trying to do is get a lot of data on as few DVDs as possible. So we're getting slammed with a lot of data compacted on some CDs, and it's making it very difficult for us to transfer it. And that's why it's been very rough getting it to the networks and getting it to anybody but the locals. I'm sitting on two CDs that will play if you have a Super DVD 5 kit that will open it on your computer. Not everybody has that. We're trying to transfer it now down to something that's a bit more digestible for the average home personal computer, so that you will be able to see that on bloggernews.net and also on the sky973.com. I do want to ask folks to please be patient. Hopefully here in the next several hours we'll be able to get this, but as Simon can attest, it took 36 hours to get a lot of this off the DVD and just into an FTP site to share. So, but Simon, you did, thank God, get a chance to watch while I was trying to get these things opened up with some of these DVDs and some of these videos. And once again, we're finding a familiar thread that these people honestly think it's all about them, and it's almost playing out like a reality TV show for them.
Oh, it most certainly is. The DVD or the segment that springs to my mind is Tommy Crosland talking to his father and then his wife Lindsay. I mean, it's whining. It's just horrible to watch. And not once does Haley's name come up, but a certain member of the press's name comes up three times.
It's amazing how that happens when folks try to insert themselves into the stories instead of simply reporting on them.
Right. And with that, I'm going to introduce our
Esteemed colleague?
Guests. Our esteemed colleague, Mr. Storbs, I take it that is you on the line.
I am on the line there, Mr. Simon. How are you doing? How are you doing there, Mr. T.J. Hart?
Doing very well, sir. Long time no hear.
Yes, sir. It's been a minute. I went in retirement there for a little bit, especially on this, but I do listen to you guys, and I hear all the mixed reporting going on, and when I want to hear the real story, TJ, I tune in to your speaking, because you pretty much have a better grip on it than most folks, since you're very close to the case and very close to the area.
Thank
so
you, sir.
You're not you weren't on the ground 5 days and left, and everybody still thinks you're there, like another person we know of. But TJ, when I want to know the facts up to date, I'll flip on the dial and get a hold of you, buddy, because I tell
you,
and then immediately I go to Simon for in case I can't listen. I'll get in word print because I know it's factually based. So I appreciate you doing good reporting. Doesn't make me feel like I lost a lot of valuable time down there for naught, now that some of the things I reported on and said are definitely coming to pass. Like that. It's kind of like the phoenix up out of the ashes, my friend, up out of the ashes.
When you say that, would you like to elaborate?
Elaborate? Absolutely, I would like to elaborate. As you and most of your listeners know, the ones that's been listening, I was requested to go there on the bequest of Richard Grund. You remember Richard Grund was probably the only decent folk involving the Cayley case in Orlando. And, of course, they tried to frame his son and get him involved in it, and I represent Mr. Grund helping him through that case best I could. And the request came from him that would I go and look into the little disappearance of little Haley Cummings after he was given a request from someone close to missing children. And said that the folks didn't have a lot of money. It was a small town. The folks didn't trust law enforcement. And, you know, when I got there, I had no idea what I was actually stepping into. So just prior to me going there, I asked, is there any press on the ground, any national press? Because that's how these cases sometimes are solved, when national press is involved. And they had been there up into including Geraldo and folks. And for whatever reasons, they had been either A, run out of town, as I was told, or lost interest in the story, you know, just various things that happened. So, you know, me being me, I reached out to the press, and I pretty much got a cold shoulder. And then I was able to hire Art Harris from The Bald Truth at the rate of $1,000 per day, and I put him on the ground for about 5 days. That's all the money that the former drug dealers would loan me. Of course, I have to pay that back. I'm kind of hoping Art would pay me back, because Art has not done what he's supposed to done, fair, equal reporting, and, you know, actually giving some other folks credit. I mean, he has taken credit from me. He has taken the credits from TJ, if anybody's been paying attention. Art, it was only there, to my knowledge, 5 days. And that, you know, when the money ran out, so did he. So to me, you got dedicated folks like the folks out of Jacksonville, Channel 4, TJ, you know more of them, TJ himself, guys like that that have put a lot on the line. I mean, risked a lot, family issues, family things, different things have popped into this. And, you know, and I turn on the TV and I see Miss Nancy Grace, and I see Art up there with his yellow number 5 and his pink lipstick, and he really pisses me off, because most of the stories he has, what do we call, poached them from other people. I mean, the exclusives. The big issues there were the drugs, and I always said drugs got them into this mess, and I think the drugs are going to get them out. And while I'm taking that approach on the drugs, I'd also like to say that, yes, I was contacted for information as to the safeness of bonding any of these folks out of jail, and I went through each one of the defendants' backgrounds and told them, you know, basically this bond company that Art knows very well about. In fact, he called me an opportunist, and I would like everybody to really look and see who the true opportunist is here. But nonetheless, I told these folks to leave them in jail. We worked too hard. I worked too hard, risked too much, put too much on the line to get them in jail where they belong. I mean, I knew about the prescription drug use day one, and I was the one who interviewed Misty, Ronald, Nene, Amber Brooks. And the list goes on and on and on. And I tell people, hey, they're all doing drugs. Even Crystal Sheffield, the natural mother, is doing drugs. And, of course, I was laughed at, ridiculed, made fun of. And you know what? It all comes to pass that, yes. And then they find crack pipes and trucks up there on the farm. And, you know, there's still 3 more folks that need to end up in jail that are, you know, this is a missing child. She's still missing, dead or alive. She's out there someplace, and it seems like, just like you said earlier in the show, it's a me, me, me. You know, I'm in jail. Oh, my God, it's bad. Hey, there's still a little girl missing, you know. She's still missing. And after all this time, it still touches my heart to know that there's not a lot of people that care. She really never had a chance. You know, that's why I was always hopeful that somebody had stolen her. Maybe she'd have a chance in life, because living with this bunch of yahoos, you see what kind of chance they got. Hell, $1,350,000 bond on one of them, and then list goes on. But hey, they're exactly where they need to be until they find Haley, period and simple. And pressure does break pipes. I've said that from time one, but the only pipes that seemed to got broken in this case was mine. I mean, the pressure built on me extremely. I mean, I don't know of anyone else, and you know, if I can't have anything else, at least I have a little bit of bragging rights. I don't know anyone that knows any more about this case than me. I don't know that anyone that's put any more on the line than me. And I don't know anybody that's risking any more up into the freedom as me. And I went there representing case closed, and I'm their chief investigator. And there's other investigators. Of course, it's been fiddled off a little bit. I mean, since my arrest, I've lost 80-90% of my income since, what, last May. And that's how you treat someone. I mean, that's the way you really treat someone that has a heart that thought he was listening to God's man, to go and look for a child. Now, last I checked, it was a American kind of thing to do. There's a child missing, and I put my 30 years of talents, expertise, connections, and everything else on the line to do this. And it has devastated me, my finances, my relationships, everything else, because people couldn't understand why I would do that. And, you know, I don't know that it was the right thing to do looking back on it. I mean, there's been no reach around. And, you know, the very guy that I paid to put on the ground, knowing full well that Art Harris, his, I guess, sister or cousin or whoever, worked in the same law firm as Nancy Grace. I mean, I'm a strategist when it comes to things like that. And I knew if I could get Art Harris on the ground there reporting, I knew damn well it would be on HLN. And one of the stories that was covered in the past, in fact, my going away present, Simon, you actually put it out there. This would have been a fluff in the snow for about one day, maybe two. And it wasn't until I showed up and started a bunch of controversies. I mean, I'm a controversial character anyway. I mean, that's how I catch fugitives. To date, over 8,000 fugitives. 200 of them were sexual predators and sexual molesters. Two of them, murderers. One of them, a terrorist. I'm very, extremely well, good at what I do. In fact, you know, one of the guys there locally, Mr. Daniel Snodgrass, was out on a capital sexual bond. And the insurance company, of course, gave me permission and a file and went down and got this guy. And then they figured, since the national press and everything, oh, no. And then I don't know if the police or haters or whoever else used it. I mean, but here I am, and this tangled web of string has not been untangled yet to where people have been lying and everything else. I mean, I was given authority to go get the guy. That's what I do, license and everything else. Work for the insurance company under a qualifying power of attorney. I mean, I don't know what else it takes. But, you know, it seems like that was a beautiful, beautiful thing for them to get me off the case. And I don't mind if somebody would come to me and tell me, get off this case and leave it alone. Somebody in law enforcement, we got this. We understand. We know what happened. We're looking for this. I could either help them get what they needed, or I would have left out of there with my head up saying, you know, I did the best I could. But
oh,
when
okay.
I was asked.
Okay.
You're going to chop me off there. Okay.
Yeah.
You got questions.
Well, we wanted you to be able to breathe, Bill.
Hey, man, listen, I got an oxygen tank hooked up, man, and, you know, it's about three-quarters of the way full, so you just break in anytime you need to.
Now, Bill did actually mention something that's very interesting, the prescription drug abuse from day one.
Yes,
now, as I know it, and maybe you can clarify this, Crystal has indeed failed at least one drug test since reclaiming Junior.
Well, here's the thing with that. I don't know of any drug tests that Crystal failed for simple reason I haven't had that piece of document in my hand. I do know that I was doing, I know that I was doing great battles with Ms. Picasio on it, and she was also another person that I brought to the case to, you know, and I brought her on the guys that, listen, I called her up and I said, Kim, I know how to get you about $1 million in advertising. I don't want to do the TV thing, but I think you'd be perfect for it. You and Nancy Grace kind of look alike and be able to, you know, mix it up and you know, keep the press hot on it. So there's a lady up there named Crystal, and she's the mother of the child, and maybe you could help her out. Now, I didn't think far enough into it that knowing when Crystal did hire her pro bono or however they worked that out, that then it would be off limits. And, see, I had no limits going into the case. Everybody needed
whoa,
to look
whoa,
that
whoa, 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 whoa. I know I hate to sound like Nancy Grace. TJ.
Yeah.
All right. Tell us about the failed drug test.
I had been put on to this by a lot of people who had contacted me, so I simply contacted Marie Griffiths via email, and I asked if indeed Crystal had failed a drug test, and did it involve a, you know, perhaps maybe a Loratab, and did the family still have a claim to Junior? And she wrote back in an email. She said, yes, it is true, and then she pointed out to the scorned folks on the internet and on the blogs, something or other, but she said Crystal is now getting able to get the help that DCF has recommended or DCF is providing to some degree, and that the junior was indeed at their home in Baker County. That was the confirmation I got from Marie Griffiths via email. And the when you talk with folks from the Department of Children and Families, I think all of us have had a run around with them at one time or another in covering stories or trying to get information. You only get the information they want to give you, and it's simply because that they deal with minors that they can pretty much protect any information going out, and they use that to their advantage greatly. And you know, in many cases, it's warranted. In some cases, it's used as a protectionary measure for the department. But primarily, it is for the protection of children.
Well, let's go back to the big data dump, which really was the focus of this program.
Yeah,
we've got something like 5 hours of video. It's really hard to muscle around, you know, as you mentioned.
Yes.
You know, we are working on ways to
make it easier.
Yeah, yeah, make it accessible. What is your take on the things that you've seen so far?
Bizarre behavior. Very little of it has been dealt with regarding Haley until the other day when we got that piece of video. I think it was a Wednesday night. We had Misty talking to her mom, saying, "You know, they can't break me. They don't have nothing to break me on. I'm not going to break. I can stay in here for 20 years. It doesn't matter to me." And her mom says, "Well, you'll be a gray haired old lady like me." And she says, "You'll still be around. You'll still be able to see me. I can do 20 years. It doesn't matter to me." She goes, "I didn't have anything to do with it." I'm very defiant. Either she's telling the truth or she's a really, really, really hardcore liar. I mean, it's going to go extreme either way.
I can help you on that, TJ, not to interrupt you there, but here's the thing. When they did the first interview and the tapes were released and they went public, you got them talking about their dope and you got them talking about, only did it 8 times, you know, and everything the defense, defense attorney would not want them saying. So the next time that we saw this, all that was all fake. I've interviewed her face-to-face. I've interviewed Ronald face-to-face. I know voice pattern changes and everything else. They know now.
Oh, God, Bill, you're right. She can change her personality on a dime.
On a dime. Listen, I watched that the other night. I try to stay away from listening to her dumb shit because of just bullshit. But the thing is she knows now that everything that she says on the phone, everything she says in front of that little monitor there, is going to go to Nancy Grace via, you know, you guys going down there picking up the tapes. So that was the thing, like, hey, I don't care if you put me in here for 20 years. I heard Ronald crying that he was in 2 sheets of plywood, and I don't know how they're doing. I'm having a hell of a time over here. Listen, those walls will get tighter and tighter, and as long as Art Harris and his friends in Nevada leave it the hell alone and do not bond that little girl out of jail, she will, you know, 20 more days, she may just crack right off. But this 20-year thing, and, of course, her mom's not that old either. Her
no,
mom
she's
is,
only 40.
Young. That's right. She looks 90, and that ought to tell you that, you know, drugs has been a part of this family for many, many years.
Drugs
but
are bad,
the little Misty can get all tough and tanked up in there. Throw her in general population. Let's see if she wants to do 20 in general. No.
Guys,
so
Tommy Croslin is getting yelled at by other inmates when he's walked out to do different things.
Yeah.
They're yelling,
yeah.
Where's Haley? Where's Haley? And now, if that tells you, that's just yelling. If that tells you how they treat folks that may be involved in a missing child or a child who's been harmed, killed, molested, or whatever, that should be a wake-up call. You don't want to be in general population just because you miss, you know, talking to other people. It isn't going to be worth your safety, but I tell you what, it's going to be, put something in the back of his head. He's very well aware of what's going on.
Oh, he's...
Well, look out for the safety and everything like that, but I'll tell you what, general population for about 10 days, 20 days, would change their mind about wanting to stay in there for 20 years. They had to change that immediately. And the only reason she was breaking all tough, you know, and if they look at any of the past interviews with her, listen to any of her voice patterns, I'm telling you from day one, listen to how this little girl talks. I mean, she's been a grown-ass woman since about 12.
Yeah.
12, 13, 14, that's when you got Joe Overstreet in the mix. You got a young fella in prison right now for allegedly raping her when, you know, they were boyfriend-girlfriend stuff. So she has been on all types, all sides of the law, coming and going. the thing where she was robbed by alleged drug dealers out there and that type of thing. And you listen to the 911 tape on that. You listen to the one where she's called in for her child missing. You put all that together. I'm telling you, if they keep them in jail, and that's where they need to stay, keep the pressure on. Put, you know, go ahead and introduce them to a few more folks that ain't. There's some folks in jail that have lost their children and they're in jail because they acted, you know, out on their own. Put them around some folks like that, and let's see if she maintains the same story that she's telling her mom. And I guarantee you, the stories will change up quick. She may be, as most people think, a fall person for Ronald, for some of the other ones, this, that, and the other. But the drugs thing, brother. The 3-4 day binge of hanging out and going all around town and doing the things she was doing prior to this, and now the drug bust, all the things we saw going on into that. Listen, drugs got them into this mess, and the drugs will probably help us find Haley.
Hey, Bill, I want to go back to a couple of things real quick here, if I can, and I apologize, Simon. The letter from jail that was intercepted, or I'm sorry, it was shared because she sent it to her boyfriend, Donnie Spells, went to Ms. Lickadoo's house in Black, a woman who basically babysits people who are in jail, and she takes care of their kids at DCF, didn't have to get involved in that thing. She shared that with you, and you got a hold of that. That mentioned something about perhaps a party where the child might have ingested some oxys or roxys or whatever they're called, died, was taken to a pond and tossed in while in a bag. And, of course, we had the draining of the pond at Mondex, the L pond, or one of the smaller ponds, I should say. They might have gotten the wrong one. We don't know. We don't know that. But in a telephone conversation, Donna Brock is intimating that perhaps, you know, she overheard something to that nature, too. I don't know if that's a smoke screen. I don't know what it is. But it to me, it all harkens back to that letter, and that there might be some merit to that goofy-ass letter we got from Nene Pravat.
I do believe there's a lot of merit to that letter myself. And the thing of it is there was more witnesses. I interviewed another lady of which you have a copy of tape on.
Yes, I do.
If you can release that. I don't know if you can release it, but they described the people that were at the party. And Donna Brock is singing the same tune. She's saying some other things that, you know, she was just in there trying to set them up. But, you know what, she's dirty. She touched the dope. Once you touch the dope, man, you're dirty. But the next thing was, you know, I think they got the wrong pond at Mondex, to tell you the truth. I think there were a couple extra players in that. I do fully agree with the police now that this was no stranger abduction. This was a inside situation where they took the child. Now, hopefully she just accidentally did die of an overdose. That's a sellable issue to lessen the terms that everybody's going to spend in jail. But in my heart, knowing that how much we've looked and everything and how much evil has popped off on this, it is my gut feeling that the child is dead. And dead at the hands of the ones that were entrusted to take care of her. That's just my gut. And if the child is alive, the only reason I believe the child would be alive is simply because it was kidnapped by the natural mother or families of the natural mother. So there's only two choices in my mind there. But what really concerns me is, yes, those Roxys and those other type of drugs that was going on, I personally saw Crystal taking dope. Then I interviewed the folks who gave her the dope, one of which was her own dad. So, yeah, she's strung out, has a problem on that. They all a bunch of dope fiends, and I agree with Captain Dominic Piscatello that trying to interview any of these folks is like trying to interview a damn rock, you know. So the only way, I mean, you know what, but rocks will break down doors and break windows. So if they keep on pushing it and keep it, you know, keep the pressure on, I don't necessarily agree with all the soft soaping that's going on, some real hardcore, leave them alone in a corner type of thing, some general population, something to bring it out. But there is something more in that letter that she wrote to Donnie Spells and Ms. Lookadoo happened to have dude, it was an act of Congress for me to get that. I mean, I had to promise who I was sending it to exactly. I think, TJ, you were one of the first guys that I got it off to, and then it went from there. And I'm glad you restated that, because that letter was never to be seen by anyone. And then the second letter that I intercepted, we kind of held back on that one for a moment. And then, of course, there was a third letter, hoax, if you will, that was popped off in the St. Augustine newsroom. Somebody came in and delivered it. At that time,
that
I
lady
was,
with the scrubs.
Right.
Yeah.
When that happened, I was no longer in receivership of any letters going anywhere. I said, if you've got a letter, it needs to go to the sheriff's office. I'm not messing around with that stuff any longer. So whatever you got. it seemed like all Southern prayers were the song of the day.
Well, who was that lady who dropped it off, Bill?
Pardon me?
Who was that lady, and what was her involvement in the St. Augustine?
I would be stepping on law enforcement's toes there to reveal anything that's not already in the press and already out there. I'm taking a stance now that if law enforcement doesn't know it, I sure as hell ain't going to give it to GQ Public first. And, you know, I'm sure that they know, and I haven't seen any news clippings or any information identifying that person or contents thereof. And there ain't no way I'm going to be the one to do either, even though you best believe I know everything except where is Haley. That's the only thing I don't know.
Oh, okay. I do have a question that's coming in from the chat room. Did PCSO talk with Chad this week?
I've been trying to get to the bottom of that. I'm getting no, what you call, no one has either confirmed or denied that. It's been silence. And there have been a couple of asks. So no one in a position of authority in law enforcement, either at the FDLE or PCSO, has either confirmed or denied that.
Okay, well, let's go back to the meat and potatoes of today's show, the tapes that were released.
Yes.
I view them as pretty ugly. I mean,
oh, God.
You know, that they may not hold the key to where Haley is or what happened, but every piece I listen to and watch, I just want to roll my eyes. I mean, these people are insane.
Yeah, well, this is the way they've been, and Bill can attest to it. He's been with them, you know, as intimate as anybody, and I got to tell you.
Hell, they drove me crazy.
They drove you crazy first before they drove me crazy because, you know, I could go home. You were still hanging around them 20 hours a day. Hell, I went home after a couple hours and said, damn, I got an aspirin to take.
I haven't heard one sensible thing come out of any of their mouths.
One thing to be certain, Simon, and everyone who's viewed these tapes or attempted to in some cases, is that these are heavily redacted, and I mean heavily. So there are some things that are in there, and the editing's pretty smooth, that you're not going to see, you're not going to hear. Some things are going to be a bit disjointed. But once again, it's what you're not hearing that's something. And Bill Stobbs just said it earlier that, you know, after the first couple of three go-rounds on this rodeo, they caught on that they're being played on the radio, they're being played on Internet sites, they're being played on HLN, they're being played in people's homes. Now they're kind of mugging for the cameras. But, yeah, they don't know how to properly mug. You know, it's all about them. Give me some honey buns. I want some real food. Give me some cigarettes.
They mugged the crap out of us up there. You know, the reason nothing good is coming out of their mouth because too much evil went in their mouth, all this dope, and that's the problem. And that's exactly the crust and core of it. I mean, drugs playing a part in this. I just can't put my finger quite on it. It happened, or whether it was a kidnapping for money. I mean, I just came off a case like that last week, where somebody had, you know, these drug dealers don't like to have their money not paid back to them. So, you know, I never heard of them taking little kids, but, you know, they tried to sell us that story. But the only, you know, we all kind of like, oh, drug dealers did it. Oh, my God. Well, let me ask you a question. What brought them there? Because y'all doing dope, you know? And then I tell them, listen, they're running a prescription drug ring on this little clip here that's so incredible, and I can't believe they're not getting busted. But, you know, I was quite happy when I saw that law enforcement had actually put somebody in on the ground. And, you know, I kind of felt that they would eventually. But there's a lot of dope. Where they were buying dope, you go doctor shopping. And, of course, you mentioned last night on the show, or night before there, TJ, where Hank Sr. was accused of that, or maybe even convicted of it. I don't know what the outcome was on that. But they got family members who go to the local pharmacy that we would all go to. And then those same family members hold a government card where they can go to the Veterans Affairs and get dope from there too. And the two, as I've checked into it, don't share that information back and forth. So they can actually get doubled up on their prescriptions. That's where Mr. Ronald Cummings was getting his from a family member. And then, of course,
yeah,
when they.
And that one might be the next one to get arrested here, too.
So, man, I can leave him right to the house. And here you go. I mean, you know, they go down there on the Mondays and Thursdays or whatever and they get the dope, and then it's out on the streets.
Yep.
And, you know, these Roxys are 30 milligrams. Here in Florida, you know, they're paying $3 to $5. They can sell them on the streets for 8 to 15. They take them to Tennessee, Kentucky. You know, we had some up there.
Bingo, Tennessee,
they're
buddy.
$1 per gram, brother. They're $30 a piece. So, you know, there's some good money there, you know. But they've eaten too many of them. You know, I don't know if they're making a profit on it. It's kind of like an ice cream stand, and they're eating all the damn profits, I guess. So that's why they're so ignorant.
Well, Bill, I tell you what, we just had a situation here where a bunch of a carload of guys from Marion County, which is Ocala, is right here in the WSKY listening area, Gainesville, Ocala, just got back from Tampa. Guess where they went to? They went to a pain clinic. Five of them. Five different guys went to the same pain clinic. Guess what? They came out with 1,100 oxycodone, hydrocodone pills, and they got busted in Marion County, believe it or not, on a traffic stop. They said, "You got anything on you?" A guy pulls out a prescription bottle. He says, "That's about it." He forgot he had a bud of pot in there. After that, they did the whole out search, and it was 1,100 pills that they had gotten, and they got it from a pain clinic. And these pain clinics, it's almost like you said, an ice cream shop for folks who maybe want to get some pain medications. And I think some harsher legislation is coming down the pike here in Florida to to get this thing under control. But you're right. You go up I-95. You go into the Carolinas. You go into Georgia. You go into Tennessee. Who lives in Tennessee that might be connected with this, Bill?
I'd say you got Mr. Joe Overstreet up there, but I don't know that he would be in on the immediate trade. But, you know, my
peripheral,
person. My partner just informed me that, you know, Missy's thinking that, let's say my bond was 100, it's been reduced to 50. That's $10,000 to get out of jail, right? That's 10%. So I'm thinking they didn't have her count the freaking money, because on 1,000-plus pills in Tennessee, that's $30,000. Or is that 300? That could be $300. I don't know. I had to check my slide rule on that. I mean, these people are freaking idiots, man. I mean, you know, and then Tommy's telling me, "I knew that was a cop. God damn it. I knew that was the police. I told Misty, that's the police you're dealing with. But I'm going to come on in there and buy some dope from you because, you know, I like dealing with the police." And then Ronald says, "I only got three friends in here, and two of them's police." These guys are ignorant. And I'll tell you what. I hope something good comes of this, because never in my life have I lost so much for a bunch of ignorant asses that I'm looking for their kid that they didn't give a shit about. They didn't care. They still don't care. They just want to know if they can get out of jail and get the damn dope.
Hey, I don't think Bill took the bait, the Tennessee bait. Why don't you try it again?
Oh, I took the bait, and I'm saying the connection there is the cousin.
No, you didn't take the bait.
Okay. Come at me with the bait again.
TJ, try it again.
Well, he mentioned Joe Overstreet, cousin Joe.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm thinking that some of this may have taken place. And I'm also thinking there's a story here at the tip of my tongue, and I'm not spitting it out either. I'm blanking here. Hit me, Simon. Come on.
Come on, Simon. Tell us what the hell the bait is. I mean, is our hair involved in this? Do I need to send him more money so he'll tell us the rest of the story or what?
I do believe that there are other people in Tennessee.
Well, you're thinking of Kentucky, my friend.
Oh, okay. That could be.
If you give me the wrong state.
Well, they're both kind of flat and goofy looking, except for the hills.
The states are the goofy people.
No. If you look on the map, they're kind of just odd looking rectangles, but they got a lot of hills. The state does.
Oh, okay. Well, the people are goofy too. You know, I saw stuff where they're trying to trademark and patent the names and do all this crazy shit, and I'm thinking, listen. Why don't we find what happened to Haley, and if she's alive, why don't we ask her what she wants to do with her name? You know? God.
Okay, right, let's go back to the videos. I'm still very disturbed by them.
Mm-hmm.
Is
it the thought of dirty underwear?
Oh God! That one just boggles my mind. I mean, how can anyone, you know, be more concerned about the laundry than his missing child? It blows my mind.
Really, Simon. They need all the protection they get. They in jail, brother. And dirty underwear or no underwear is a bad thing. So, they're concerned about that. But it is disgusting that they would focus on all this. And, you know, I would be, I don't know, speechless on that one.
Well, you know, another thing that has come to light is that one of the women that Ronald allegedly is talking to in the audio tape that was released in bits and pieces is not that of necessarily a local girlfriend, but insiders close to the situation have informed me that the woman is a blogger who's become a fan of this so-called reality TV series called The Disappearance of Haley Cummings. And this woman allegedly had a crush on that Vandersloot kid that was allegedly involved in the girl down in Aruba, and she has attractions to men in trouble.
Well, that's Natalie you're speaking of, and
Natalie Holloway.
Yeah. Yes, and I was adding a little bit about that, but guess what? The old judge that was taking care of him and looking out for everybody, he's dead now. So hopefully, a new judge will step up and. His dad died? Which one?
Yeah, his dad died.
Okay. Well, his dad is a judge. Okay, all right. Same situation. But anyway, hopefully that they come back around now and reopen that, because that investigator that had his truck all wired up kind of, you know, reminded me of somebody else I know that had his truck all wired up, and these joker gets in there and talking, you know, I did this and I did that. And to me, that's an admission of guilt. That, to me, he should be over there going, okay, now let's find out what you did with the little girl's body, because you're in it, you know, you did it. But no, they threw all that out.
Okay, hold on here, guys.
Hold on.
All right. TJ, you just said something that definitely got my attention.
Yes.
The unknown person at the end of the telephone line.
Yeah.
I had
possibly
assumed, I had assumed was his new girlfriend.
I did too until last night, and then new information surfaced on this with a team that has been assisting me, and you know, that's the allegation right now. It still warrants a lot more investigation.
Oh yeah, but I mean, doesn't this sound like Pirate Girl and
No, I don't think so. I think what you have out there, Bill, you've been out there on the blogs, and you've seen some of this too, is that people are drawn to cases like this for a variety of different reasons. Some of it, basically now it's a lifestyle, it's a social function. Believe it or not, it's been reduced to that. Some of it
I don't
is,
do blogs, my friend. I don't do them.
Oh, I know, but you've seen them in the past.
I've been sent email copies of them, stuff like that. And yeah, it's a social call, and you get people up in there don't know crap, haven't spent a nickel other than to pay their water bill, and they know more about the crap than me and you and anybody else that's actually been there and talked to them. And if that is Pirate Girl, buddy, I'm gonna tell you
I don't think that it is.
I was. I was just using that as an example.
Bad example, because I haven't heard anything truthful come from that woman other than stir up hate, discontent, and everything else. In fact, I was answering a very long questionnaire from the Florida Bar Association in reference to some of her allegations and various things that she said. So, got no use for her. Met her one time. She came off kind of nice to me. She was on a fact-finding mission. And the facts that she found out were perverted, twisted, and turned, burnt, made to look like something else. So, you know, when anybody does that, they're not looking for a little girl. They're looking for hype. And hype is not what's going to find a little girl.
Yeah. Some people have other interests in this other than, you know, trying to insert themselves into the story or other involvement. And many people, I'd say 99% of the folks who are following the story, have some genuine concern for this little girl. And I think that there's a fraction that of the folks who want to either try to insert themselves into the story or as the Putnam County Sheriff's Office, and they're pretty good at this by putting this in one of their bullet points, saying, yeah, a lot of the calls we've been getting have been from people who think they perhaps know how to do this a little bit better than anybody else. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And of course, no further follow-up needed to be taken place on as that course of action. So, yeah, they're getting bugged by armchairs, too.
So where do we need to head next?
I need to get some money together, and we need to put Art Harris back on the ground in Satsuma, since that's where Nancy Grace thinks that he's been the whole damn time, and give him some fresh information so that he can quit exploiting Lindsey Crosland, who's his contact, on the guise that he might or might not be getting those folks out of jail, but he has an open communication line with them to suck information at them so he can look with his orange number 5 and his pink lipstick on the Nancy Grace show and hopefully give an update. But the updates they're getting are inside family stuff, and they're not factual, and they're not real. It's just little blips and globs, and it ain't going to tell us nothing. Hank Crosland, Sr., believes in his heart that Misty knows more than she's telling, and he begs her all the time. And in fact, he told me, listen, I'll set up an appointment with you so you can see her in a meeting. She knows something. You know, you need to go talk to her, and this is how you need to talk to her, and yada, yada. And, you know, that's if anybody's going to do anything, they need to sit down and, you know, really, you know, try to get inside this little girl's head. They need to bring some folks in that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then give Art something to report to the national media instead of this bullshit that they've got going on out there, you know? And he's
okay.
Motivated by the money.
All right. I don't have the audio clip queued up because we're still muscling it around. But I think what Cobra is referring to is the phone conversation, jailhouse phone conversation between Tommy Crosland and his wife. And it goes along these lines. Tommy, what did you say when you talked to him? And the question is aimed about Stephen Brown, the attorney. The reply is, oh, he just gave me that weird guy's number. Tommy asks, who? Lindsay replies, the guy that, oh, he's some bail bondsman that wants to bail you out. His name is Leonard Padilla. Tommy, did Stephen Brown give you his number? Lindsay, no, Art Harris did. I mean, he bailed Casey Anthony when her bail was $1 million to get out. So I'm pretty certain that's where Cobra is coming from. Am I right, Bill? Bill? Uh-oh. Seem to have lost Bill.
Oh, no.
Alrighty. Bill's gone very quiet. TJ, what did you make of that particular conversation?
Once again, you know, I've been contacted by Padilla's office. His secretary called me about a week ago Thursday, that Leonard was looking for a way to, he was looking to see if the family had been evicted in the Hermit's Cove, Satsuma area, and if they had a place to live, and if that was the case, what kind of money did they need in order to get a place to live? And I thought about it. And I said, look, you know, I'm driving my granddaughter to dance class right now. And I'll talk to you later. So I called back and I got an answering machine. And I stated that, I'm as compassionate as the next person, but you might want to go through Misty's attorney on this. I don't feel comfortable being a part of this story. I want to report on it and remain objective and not be in it. So if you don't mind, please go about it that way. And I never got a return call on it. Then I started hearing a lot more later that night on the Nancy Grace show. I guess Leonard Padilla was actually on there. So I guess this was either Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday of last week. God, the days run together.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, can sure can. And then Padilla was talking about under the right conditions, he would consider bonding her out. And then that's the last I heard of Padilla.
Let me tell you something about that. Padilla called me after he found out and read your scoop there that where the story was confusing, that I was trying to get him out of jail. And he goes, you think you can get him out of jail and she'll talk? I said, first of all, I ain't getting nobody out of jail. That's number one. And anybody gets into jail is a damn fool. And then he, and I was talking right to him. He knows because I talk to Padilla all the time anyway. So he called me to ask me what my, you know, what I was doing. Nothing. Then all of a sudden I see he interjected himself into the case. And, you know, I'm hoping that's who Art was talking about. But my name was mentioned, and then his name pops up, and there he is. He's a damn fool if he was to bond any of these people out of jail. The cops have got this. We'd leave them alone, let the police figure the shit out. Back to what you were saying, the question you asked me if I was going to touch something or not, I ended up, they got these machines set up that shut your cell phone down. You know, it just jam them. You know, if you're in an area, you're not supposed to be talking on the cell phone, so that happened. So I forgot what the question was that you asked me if I was going to touch it or not. You know damn well I touch anything. You know, I'll grab
it. Twice if you like it.
Well, if I know the truth behind it or the fact of it, I'll tell you about it. If I don't, then I have to pass on it. But most of the things that I've been talking about, I know firsthand because, by God, I lived it, you know. And the thing is, and, you know, somebody had said a long time ago the police wasn't doing their job, and I was defending Jeff Hardy, who got a ton of shit on his plate to handle besides Haley. I mean, Haley is very important, but, my God, he's got a ton of shit going on. And Captain Dominic Piscitello, hell, it's about worried him half to damn death. Well, let me tell you what. Go up there. Look at the amount of arrests these people are making and different things. You just don't put these cases together overnight. You know, everybody wants the thing solved, but you look at these folks, how they're, you know, Jesus Christ, ain't nobody trying to help nobody, that's for damn sure.
Well, nobody wants to relieve the overcrowding in their jail right now either, or help them out in that manner, and that's where they're having a problem of serving people with their warrants for arrest, is that they ain't got no place to put them.
That's right. Well, listen, unless y'all got a question or two for me, I'm going to step out of here because I'm going into one of these no-fly zones. And that means no sell your business happening, nothing. But I did enjoy speaking with y'all today, and I thank you for straightening out a few things and stuff. And I just wish, TJ, that CNN and HLN and the various ones would allow you, who's closest to the case now, talk about it and update it and keep Orange Number 5 pink lipstick the hell off the damn TV screen.
Bill, it's always delightful to talk with you.
You can tell I want my money back from this peckerhead because, I hate paying somebody for a job and they fuck it up. I mean, if you paid me for a job and I didn't do the job right, you'd ask me for my money back. Art Harris, if you're listening, you owe these drug dealers $5,000. I'm going to give you a fucking address. I love you guys, man. Just joking, Art.
I'm sure glad I just draw a salary from a very reputable company and I don't have to worry about things like drug dealers.
I've received 100 damn calls from various, and these are former drug dealers. They're not active in the trade anymore, and they're pissed at the pharmaceutical drugs, so they don't do the pharmaceutical stuff, or they didn't in that day. And they're pissed at Art Harris that he got their money by me and then turn around and fabricate the damn stories and do all this crap. And there ain't a lot of happy people out there right now. People that were followers of Art Harris definitely are not happy about it. And Nancy needs to know that he was only on the ground 5 days. Five stinking-ass days paid for by former drug dealer money, period. Period and simple. Which I got to pay back, unless I do give him his address. Anyway, love you guys. Mean it. And keep the faith. Keep the faith.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I'm not going to sit there and knock another broadcaster or another journalist. Everybody got to do what they got to do. And I got to tell you what, that anybody who's looking for some kind of reward or accolade out of this situation, you get it from your maker at the end. Don't be looking for any kind of instant gratification, because it ain't going to be worth it in the end. You only do good deeds because your heart tells you to do good deeds, and you don't look for any kind of reciprocation out of a good deed. Your reciprocation probably should be from the good feeling you got from helping somebody. So, folks, I mean, I don't mean to be proselytizing here. You know, I'm a rough old heathen that found a little bit of light not too long ago in his recent past. And I will tell you that my anger and revenge and stuff like that, they're gone. It's wasted emotions.
So, let's go back to the very beginning.
Let's do. I feel better about that.
Yeah, of the show. What do you make of these tapes?
In the beginning, I don't think they really knew that these were going to come out, and I think a lot of them were showing a revelation of the true nature, the true psyche of what's going on in these people's minds. You're getting an insight to what it's like to be a person who is dependent on drugs. It's I, me, my, and where's my next fix? I got to go. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here only because I got to get my next fix. I need to get my next hit of drugs. I need to take my next tablet. I need to get the next gallon of booze in me. I need to do this. I can't stay here. They're not giving me what my body thinks it needs, which is another pill. So you're seeing a lot of desperate people. Now you're starting to see people like Misty become a little bit more animated, a little bit more with it, but still charged up and still wanting to be in that line to get a pill. And it's still very egocentric, very, very me-oriented, and they really don't care too much beans about anybody else, but what you're seeing is that physically they're starting to look a little bit better, but probably within another 20 days you're going to see a lot of that stuff leave their system, and it's like, oh my God, you know, they're going to have an awakening as to what's this is all about, and it's a little bit more than not getting your pills. And it's a little bit more than this make-believe land of reality TV they think they're in. Right now, all I'm seeing is posturing here on this last set of tapes. A lot of chest beating, a lot of mugging for the camera, a lot of mugging for the press, a lot of name-dropping in hopes that somebody will pay attention to them, and for all the wrong reasons.
The one person that I was really, really hoping to get some information out of, the recording is completely screwed up.
Oh, the Donna Brock thing. Basically what you got from Channel 4 in their thing was really about all there was worth it to that. You know, it was I can't reproduce it to the point where it's audible, to the point where it's going to be worth the damn or even mean anything to anybody. There's a lot of disjointed stuff that was so heavily redacted. I didn't bother to even put it up. You can get angry with me if you want, folks. Don't really care, but that's the name of that tune. You'd either click on that link and be very disappointed or not hear it at all and be equally as disappointed. So saved you a little trouble.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do think it's a shame, though.
It is. I'm cussing and I'm not really, well, I'm cussing. I'm angry that it, and disappointed that it didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, I think those conversations might have been quite revealing. I'm not saying that Donna Brock was involved in the beginning, because
You would have
to be insane to think that.
But she may have overheard something, and I think that Levi Page was trying to tell us that she overheard a lot of things. A lot of it didn't make any sense. Some of the tapes she played back to him, but I think he was led to believe by her that she actually had something of value that Misty might have shared with her.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that. That she does know something. It's just so annoying that those jailhouse tapes are not audible.
Well, they're not reproducible to an audio quality that you'd like. You can hear them, but reproducing them, much the same trouble we're having with the data that we have on the DVDs. It just wasn't good.
Do we have a game plan on the DVDs?
Not yet. My IT people are working on this, trying to convert them. We're using an outside vendor right now to try to convert these. There's so much compressed data on this and compacted data. We're trying to turn them into different video waveforms and image waveforms that are – maybe I'm using the wrong – MP4, I believe, is what we're trying to break them into. I'm not a technical guy, but I get lucky pretty good. And sometimes if it doesn't work, a bigger hammer usually does the trick, but I don't think the bigger hammer is going to fix this one right now.
For those of you that are scratching your head, the problem we have is that they were released in what's called a VOB format, which is something like video object. I think that's what it stands for.
Yeah.
And it's a DVD format, and they're in such huge chunks that it would be insane to try and stick them up on the web.
You would spend basically anywhere from 12 to 18 hours waiting for that thing to load in order for you to watch basically 5 hours worth of video.
Right.
We know this because we've done it.
Yeah.
We haven't slept.
Right. We've been doing this for 24 hours.
And I drove all the way over to the daggone ocean to get them and paid for them. That's really making me mad.
Yeah, I mean, it took forever to get them uploaded to one server, and then it took me forever to get them uploaded to another server. And then I went, okay, this is great. Click, nothing.
Gee, many crisps.
just definitely a tough road to hoe. But as I understand it, even the TV people are having trouble with this.
Oh yeah, they are. They're having tremendous difficulties. You're lucky to get what you get, because they have to play this in real time on a DVD machine and play it through a series of cables, of course, in their transfer into the nonlinear digital formats that they have, so they can actually edit it, because they can't edit it in the form that it is on. So they have to download it in real time and then go back and piece by piece edit it. That's why on Nancy Grace you see Misty kind of pressed down. First of all, she's short. And you can't really see her in the video screen, so they put the information box on the lower third over her mouth, and they wind up just looping the audio conversation. You can't see her mouth move. I mean, the only way you know that it's a loop is that you can see the eyes move a little differently, and then all of a sudden you say, hey, man, she just did that a minute ago. But that's what they're doing, is they're looping the audio through that convenient bad picture from the video phone.
Okay. I think our time is just about up. TJ, I really want to thank you for taking time to talk to us today.
Thank you, sir.
And I guess we will be talking again on Sunday.
Unless, yeah, we will.
And by Sunday, we might actually have some of these tapes edited. And,
yeah, but once again, folks, it's not because we're trying to be mean people or that we don't know anything. We were just blessed with such volumes of information on compressed DVDs that it's taking a long time for this to get to work.
Okay. This is Simon Barrett for Blogger News Network.
This is TJ Hart for The Sky.
Yep, and that would be thesky973.com.
$5.
I hope I got that right.
$5.
$5. Okay, we will talk again on Sunday.
All right,
goodbye.
Thank you, sir. Bye.